hearts be always acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. You all have known me long enough to know that I have chided myself about not having a sense of direction. When God was giving those out, I was on a long vacation, and therefore dependent upon GPS. Thank God for GPS. But there's a few instances where GPS will not help you, and I'll give you two examples. When I go to visit one of our members in a hospital in Baltimore City, and I park in a parking garage. And inevitably, the first two levels of that parking garage are not for normal people. They're for hospital personnel only. And so you go round and round to the third or fourth level, or maybe it's the third or fourth level down, and finally you find a parking spot. You go into the hospital, you visit your parishioner. You come back, and boy, are you in trouble. Because first it says, exit for Green Street, and there's no exit right away. And then it's an exit for Lombard Street, and Lombard Street isn't away. And a frustrating thing, when you follow the exit signs, they spin you round and around, and you wonder, I think I've seen this thing before. And then I say to myself, somebody get me out of here. Second example, and you know this quite well, when you go to a cemetery that's huge, like Loudon Park, and you're far into Loudon Park, the GPS will not help you. They don't know the streets within Loudon Park. I can remember the time when we restored the Bishop Cummins gravestone. That's way back. Close enough to the exit that's permanently shut off of Loudon Park, you got to come back to, you have to come back to Wilkins Avenue. Can't go to that blocked off port. And I'm glad Sarah was with me because she has an excellent sense of direction. Well, in our gospel reading this morning, it's not so much of get me out of here, get me out of this place, but it's get me to this place. And Jesus is speaking about the pathway leading to God's kingdom. So my first point is Jesus Christ as the way of salvation. In Luke 13, 23 and 24, the question is asked of Jesus, Lord, are there just a few who are being saved? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Our Lord is not talking about a literal road trip. He says what we need to be focused on our goal to eternal life and the path to get there. But by God's grace, we can stay focused, striving all of our lives to enter through the narrow door, which is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, for he himself is that narrow door. People might produce all sorts of ways to get to heaven and maybe incorporate Jesus in one part of that aspect of getting to heaven. But any quest for eternal life is not completely and only dependent upon Jesus is going the wrong way. We must trust in his life, death, and resurrection. For Jesus himself said in this passage, many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able. This is not talking about a person who truly wants to enter the kingdom of God. It's talking about somebody who wants to enter the kingdom of God in his way, other than through Jesus. The reason, the question that the man asked, Lord, are there just a few who are being saved? Was that there was a prevailing viewpoint in first century of the Jewish people that all of Israel would be saved except for a few exceptionally wicked people. But otherwise, all descendants of Israel would be saved. And I think the person asking the question is getting the sense that Jesus is drawing a distinction that not everyone among the Israelites will be saved. Instead of the prevailing viewpoint that only a few would be negatively judged by God, Jesus is speaking of the many in Luke 13:24 who will seek to enter the kingdom in their own way and not be able. Instead, entrance into God's kingdom will require a personal commitment to Jesus as Lord and Messiah, and that many in Israel will find it too costly to do that, because commitment to Jesus as Lord had social consequences in the first century. It had employment consequences that they were not willing to do. The man asked the question, are there just a few who are being saved? And Jesus redirects the man away from how many to focusing on how to enter God's kingdom. What is his relationship with God? As I said before, many in Israel believe that simply because they were descendants, physical descendants of Abraham, that they were good, regardless of what they said, did, or even believed. Jesus spent a good time of teaching, correcting this attitude. For many people, it seems likely that this is the problem that Jesus is correcting behind this man's question. And we have the same issue arising today. But instead of thinking strictly about whether a people of one nation will all be saved, the prevailing thinking and explicit teaching in our society, both among non-religious and religious, is a pernicious doctrine called universalism, which says everybody's going to heaven. If you're human, you're going to heaven. Let me say with the clearest possible voice I can, that is simply false teaching. And it is a false sense of peace and assurance to have a person believe it as if it were true, but it is not. It is here I want to communicate with the strongest possible conviction. You cannot have your cake and eat it. If you believe in Jesus as Lord and Messiah, at the same time, you must also believe what he taught. Otherwise, it's just pablum nonsense. It's picking and choosing what you like about Jesus' teaching. And if his lordship means anything, you must embrace all that Jesus taught. He is right about everything he taught, even the true but uncomfortable truth of God's judgment towards those who reject Jesus as God and the only Savior of the world. For one cannot consistently say Jesus as God and not believe in God's righteous judgment. For this is what our Lord taught, including in this passage. What Jesus says about the door, he is talking about himself and that he is the only way to enter God's kingdom. There's another passage in the gospel accounts, John chapter 10, verse 9, where Jesus again speaks of himself as the door and the way of salvation, where he said, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Both John 10 and here in Luke 13, Jesus is speaking of himself as the exclusive way of salvation. Emphasis on him as the one and only door. The only door into God's saving presence and a member of God's kingdom. And the Greek wording of John 10 is emphatic, where Jesus says, I myself am the door. He is saying he is the only way to eternal life. So Jesus is certainly addressing the issue of the eternal state, both of those who enter God's kingdom through Jesus and also those who are shut out of and suffer God's eternal judgment because they did not genuinely believe in Christ while they lived. And so we see the interesting situation where Jesus at the end says, the first shall be last and the last first. And that brings me to my second point, Jesus as the judge of God's kingdom. The Lord Jesus gives this warning to those who know of him and his teaching but do not follow him as Lord in Luke 13, 25 and 26. Once the head of the house gets up and shuts the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock on the door, saying, Lord, open to us. Then he will answer and say to you, I do not know where you are from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. On the one hand, the Israelites who did not believe in Christ as Messiah are outside of the kingdom. On the other hand, there are a substantial number of Gentiles from all over the world who believe in Christ as God and Messiah, who are part of God's kingdom. And that's where this idea of the first shall be last and the last first comes in. The Gentiles were the last to hear, and yet many of them believed. And the Jews were the first to hear, and many of them did not believe. Jesus refers to Gentiles who believed in him according to Luke 13, 29 as coming from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and will recline at the table in the kingdom of God. This shows the fulfillment of Genesis 12, in which Abraham and his descendants will be a blessing to all nations and to all peoples. And Jesus Christ, as the one descendant of Abraham who came as the promised Messiah, he will bring salvation to the many nations of the earth, for whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved and will be welcomed into God's kingdom. Let me clear away some misunderstandings, though, at this point. This is not to say there were not many Jews who believed in Jesus as Lord and Messiah. Jesus himself was a Jew. The 12 apostles were Jews. Many of the conversions in the early part of the book of Acts were Jewish believers. But in the Great Commission of the Lord and found in Matthew 28, and in the last words of Christ to the apostles in Acts 1, the gospel was to be preached to the nations of the world, starting in Jerusalem, then to Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. The gospel was not only preached to the Gentiles, but the gospel of Christ was also received by the Gentiles. And the flip side of all that I have said, it's also true that the message of Christ was rejected by both Jews and Gentiles. In Luke 13, we hear our Lord speaking to those who have heard this message among the descendants of Israel but did not respond with faith in Christ. Those who reject Jesus as the Christ, whether Jew or Gentile, will suffer God's judgment spoken of in terms of weeping and gnashing of teeth, of being cast out of God's merciful presence. Christ says to them, depart from me, all you evildoers. These people have heard Christ's teachings and witnessed his miracles, and yet they did not respond with faith in Christ, and in doing so, increase their guilt. Jesus previously said in the Gospel of Luke 12:48, for everyone who has been given much, much will be required. And to whom they entrusted much, of him they will ask all the more. With this principle in mind, already spoken by our Lord, he reinforces this principle and applies it specifically to our reception of his teaching. To those born and raised in the church, it is a warning to not only start well in our faith walk with Christ, but to continue well and to end well. And that is a call for a vibrant and persevering trust in Jesus as Messiah and Savior. The people addressed in this passage who have heard Christ's words in Luke 12, 26, and yet who were shut out of the kingdom, say that they were in Christ's presence. We heard your teaching. And yet Jesus is reminding them that mere physical proximity and closeness to him doesn't mean we're part of Christ's kingdom. For Jesus then says to this group that he doesn't know where you are from, and depart from me, all you evildoers. I want to key in on these two phrases, I don't know where you are from, and depart from me. The phrase, I don't know where you're from, or in other translations, I don't know you, may be misinterpreted to mean our Lord lacks knowledge of who we are and where we're from. But that's not what he's saying. He's saying that he doesn't know you as one of his own. That's what he's getting at. Jesus, as God the Son, knows every single individual who has ever lived, lives now, and whoever will exist in the future. In fact, God the Son has full knowledge of people, including the secrets of their hearts, and that's why he's able to accurately judge us, because he knows all things. He's all-knowing as God the Son. And so again, I don't know where you're from means he doesn't acknowledge you as a person and member of his kingdom. He doesn't acknowledge them as having been in saving relation with him, and they are not united to him by faith. Now, obviously, this is a somber and sobering warning by our Lord meant to jolt us into reality in assessing our relationship with Christ. Christ's words about departing from him, all you evildoers, and I believe the evil he is speaking of is the evil of having heard his message but not receiving it by faith as the truth of God for our salvation. As I conclude my sermon this morning, I return to the man's initial question, Lord, how many will be saved? God knows the answer to that question, but quite frankly, it's none of our business. Whether 30% of humanity is saved, 60%, find any percentage you want, it's none of our business. What Jesus does want us to focus on is, am I in right relationship with God through Jesus Christ? How will I be saved? How will you be saved? And the answer is the same as it has always been and always will be. Jesus, Jesus, and only Jesus. And so may we faithfully trust in Christ and look to him alone for salvation. Let us pray. O Lord, you have called us to enter your kingdom through the narrow door, through the way of trusting in you, Lord Jesus, as the way, the truth, and the life. Guide us by your word and spirit, and lead us now and always in the ways of the kingdom of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.